The Old Testament reading comes from Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you, in ourselves, an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some walk among you in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these days are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, thank you, Marty, for pointing out the exciting joy and wonderfulness and no sadness at all in our reading today. Today, we get a really neat opportunity, actually. We get to talk about the end of the world, not using the book of Revelation. It's like God talks about it several times in there. Several times throughout Scripture, we get an image of what it's like to see the end, to see what happens when God will bring this creation and the glory and beauty and sadness of it all to an end, and how what he will bring instead is joy, excitement, light, and salvation. You can put yourself in the shoes of the disciples here. You got the picture behind me and in your bulletin of Jesus and his disciples. You can see the temple off in the distance with the smoke coming up from all the sacrifices that are happening there. This takes place just after Jesus and his disciples are looking into the temple and marveling at its beauty, and you can even see all the different people coming to and fro. You can smell the sacrifices. You can even hear the sounds of people mingling and talking, praying. You can also hear the clinking of little bits of coins falling into a collection area. This is when Jesus points out the widow who gives her mite, the small offering, and he says, you know what? All this beauty, all this grandeur, all the people making large donations, hearing lots of ching, 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 lots of sounds of coins falling into the bucket. Then you hear blink, blink. And he says, that is pretty amazing. He points out the faith of that widow there. And as they're still marveling, though, at everything they see, everything they hear, this is, of course, a place that they've been looking forward to. This temple took a long time to rebuild, and they did it well. This is the place that God's people say he has come down from heaven to be here with us. Not only is it just beautiful in its construction, not only is it amazing to see so many gathered worshiping and praising God there, this is the place where we know God comes behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies. This is where we know God comes to us. This is pretty amazing. Before Disneyland, it was the happiest place on earth. This is the place where God's people rejoiced at seeing, to be a part of it, to know that they were there at God's house. And as they're there, sitting at the feet of Jesus, saying, wow, look at this, isn't it amazing? God's house, so cool. To which Jesus is like, I'm aware. Being God, of course. That's where our gospel reading picks up in Luke 21. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus is a wet blanket. As for these things that you see, yeah, pretty cool, right? The days will come when will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. That would be a shock. This place took years, generations to get just right the second time. It's amazing that God would come to be with his people here. Jesus, you're saying that not one stone will be left on another? It will be fully, utterly destroyed? That would be a shock. That would be disheartening. It would be pretty sad. Now, you got to love the faith of the disciples here. Well, surely you're wrong, Jesus. You just mean it like figuratively, right? Just... Yeah, right, it's not going to be here because someday we're all going to go to heaven. Sure, okay. No, it's real. And they don't respond with a type of shock that would lead them to believe Jesus is not telling the truth here. I do like the response. Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? They've learned. This is late in Jesus' earthly ministry. They've been with him long enough to know when he says something, he means it. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Well, that's unfortunate. Well, how can we know it's going to come? Like, when do we know it's going to like be just around the corner? I want to know how long I get to enjoy this place for. When do I need to make sure I sell the land and get out of here? What's the sign that this is going to take place? That's a more faithful question than to say, surely you're wrong, Jesus. What do you mean? Just to say, well, if it's going to happen, how am I going to know it's about to happen? And man, we've been asking the same question for generations. Not about the temple, but we know Jesus, who went into heaven, said he's going to come again. We know that he said he will return and the old will be gone and the new will come. We know that Jesus is going to return, and all that we see here, all of the beauty we see, will go away. Not one stone will be left on a stone. Not one grapevine will be standing for next year's crop. Not one newly planted tree will be felled over. Not one beautiful chancel art decoration will survive. Everything's going to go. And our question often is, so when's that going to be, Jesus? When are you coming again? We want to know. We're inquisitive. We have the same question. We take Jesus at his word. He is going to come again. He will return. This world will pass away. We will be brought to heaven with him. A new heaven and a new earth to look forward to. One without pain, one without suffering, without sadness, without our own sin, which would pull us away from God. One without the influence of Satan and death in this world. We look forward to a great and wonderful place. So Jesus, when's it going to take place? When's that sign that shows us you're coming next? We like to look at Revelation. We like to look at it and figure out, okay, well, this is this thing, and this is this person, and this destruction is that destruction. And we start looking like the meme of the guy who's pointing at the board with the strings everywhere. It's coming! The end of the world is here. People have thought that many times. Jesus says, do not be led astray. There will be those who come saying, I am he. There will be those who say, the end is near, it is right now. Do not be led astray. Notice he does not clearly answer when it will be. I do like that Jesus points out, though, along the way, there will be wars and tumults. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famine, pestilence, terror, and great signs from heaven, persecution, imprisonment, dogs and cats living together. That'll be awful. A lot of things are going to happen before the end of things come, the end of time comes. Jesus talks about two different times. He talks, of course, about the destruction of the temple. Many things will happen. He talks specifically to the disciples and said, "You will be persecuted. You will be delivered over to death. You will be imprisoned. These things are going to happen before even the destruction of the temple." Then also, he makes it about more than just that, more than just the destruction of the temple, about the destruction of all things, when he brings up his second coming. He says, all of this is going to happen. He says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Of course, that doesn't mean all, every single individual, but just by those who don't know God, those who oppose him, you will be hated by them up until that point. But verse 18, not a hair of your head will perish. To those who Jesus just said, you will be delivered over to be persecuted and killed, not a head of your hair will perish. What do we have to fear? People, this world, can only do something to this body and to this life, which is a blip in comparison to all of eternity. You have nothing to fear. Whether it be war, pestilence, famine, the Black Plague, COVID, World War I, II, or however many we end up with. People might have thought, even during the time of the Reformation, well, clearly this is the end, right? Here comes Luther bringing the gospel back to us. We just had a big old celebration, German Fest, woo, have a good time. People might have thought, even then, we're coming back to God, we're coming back to God's word. Clearly this is the time now. So many opportunities for us to think, well, things have never been this bad. It's got to be the time for Jesus to return. We don't know when that will be. If anyone else comes to you saying, I have what you need, I have the answers, run from them. Do not listen to them. If someone tells you, I have done the math, I have figured it out, in the year 2027, on August 19th, so Pastor Brubaker will not get to celebrate his birthday the next day. That will be the end of the world. We don't know. We truly don't. We are told there will be many bad things, many signs in heaven and on earth throughout the time. And yet, at some point, there will be a shaking of everything. Not just an earthquake. I'm from Southern California. We're used to those. A shaking of everything, and Jesus will return. Everyone will see it. Everyone will know it. Verse 27, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We don't know when the end of the world will come. We do know there will be a lot of pain and suffering before then. We don't know when Jesus will bring us to our eternal home, whether that will be before his second coming or when he does come. We have no clue. It could be tomorrow. It could be five generations from now. When God has decided it is the right time, Jesus will return. Every time we see something that might be a sign that things are coming to an end, Jesus says, don't worry about it. Forget about it. Sorry, too many movie references today. Don't worry. Raise up your head. Your redemption is drawing near. As awful as things get in this world, when it gets worse, don't be afraid. If this is when the world ends, all the better for us. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. If living gives me Christ and then dying is somehow better, well, I will look forward to the day when God calls us home. Raise up your heads. Don't be afraid. I don't have a crystal ball. None of us who do. None of us can pray and ask God, what's going on in the world right now? When are you going to bring certain things to an end? When are you going to bring a different type of peace? When are you going to just stop all of it? Jesus' answer to us would be the same as it was to his disciples. Don't worry. Not a hair of your head will perish. Your redemption is drawing near. Lift up your heads. Have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No matter how sad it might be, no matter how dark the world may look, you have something far greater coming. You don't need visions and revelation to explain it to you what that looks like and when it will be. Just know that it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we trust in him above all else, he will continue to guard and keep our hearts and our minds in himself to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.